Morning, everybody. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father God, we're here this morning, Lord, and Father, we just thank you. We love you. We want to worship you. We want to spend time with you. Father, we want to hear from you. Minister to us as we read from your word, Father. Give us direction. We want to serve you and serve you better than we ever have before. But for that, we need direction. So, Father, speak into our hearts. Lord, as I read from your word, let it be all you and not me. Let each one of us gather something that we can use from it. Father, we just love you and we thank you for Jesus, for the fact that he died on the cross for us, and that we have a reason to be together here this morning like this. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no need for us to even be here, because we couldn't get there on our own. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. With racing season almost being over, I thought this was kind of a fitting message. You know, why are we together this morning? You know, one of the reasons we're together this morning is to worship God. But what other reason are we here for? Well, God asks us to be together. That's one of the things that God does. God doesn't like loner Christians. It's not that, you know, anybody should think they're special and stuff and try to do things on their own. And, you know, more than likely, I'm not saying you can't be a Christian and be on your own. But what I'm saying is it would be really, really hard for you to be a Christian and just totally be on your own and not interact with anybody else. So what's the Bible say about all that? Well, the Bible refers to us as the body of Christ. And when it talks about that, you know, God actually even makes a comparison between our regular body and our spiritual body of Christ, if you want to call it that, all of us together being the body of Christ. And I want to read to you. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. You know, it's exactly what it says. It says, you know, there's a whole bunch of us, and all of us put together are one body. We're the body of Christ. Then it goes on. It says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In other words, once we're Christians, once we ask Jesus into our heart and realize that we need him as our Savior and ask him to come into our heart and save us, once we do that, we become Christians, and that automatically makes us part of the body of Christ. Well, I want to read on. It says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? That makes good sense if you think about it. You know, if you look at our physical body, you know, my arm can't be my leg, and my leg can't be my arm, and it's just referring. Then that way it makes it easy to understand. And what it's talking about is everybody in the body of Christ has a different purpose. You know, there's people that are called to lead worship, you know, people to sing. There's people that are called to just take care of other people, you know, ministering to them. There's people called to be preachers. There's all kinds of people called to all kinds of different things. And we can't all be one thing. And I want to read on because it refers right to that. You know, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? In other words, we can't all be the same thing. You know, God says that right here in his word. So where do you go? Where do you think you belong in the body? Well, you pray about it. and you see what, you know, where God leads you. God's the one that's got to show you where you belong. It's real hard for us to, you know, I've seen people, you know, think they're supposed to be ministers, and they go off trying to minister, and it doesn't work. I've seen people, it goes in all directions. I mean, I've seen people think they are supposed to start a church, and then the church fails, and they're like, wow, we don't understand why it failed. Well, God didn't lead them in that direction. He didn't expect them to be somebody that runs a church. So we talk to God, and God gives us direction. And there's a point I'm making with all of this that we're going to get to at the very end, but it leads up to something, so just hang with me. So I want to read some more. I like reading from the Bible, especially on this stuff, because it can say it a lot better than I can. I've said that before. So the last verse we're reading, as it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. It says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now, we all know we got parts of our body that ain't as cool as other parts. Well, you run into the same thing with people. There are people in the body of Christ that don't seem to be as cool as other people. You know, you got greeters at the church door a lot of times, you know, saying hey to everybody. And to some people, you know, that's like a demeanial task almost. Like, wow, I'm supposed to do that? You got people out mowing the grass, taking care of the place. You know, you got people sweeping up the hallways and mopping the floors. You know, that, to some people, that seems like, I can't serve in the body that way. But well, somebody needs to do that too. And those people are just as important as the guy standing behind the pulpit. That's basically the point he's making here. So let's just read on a little bit. It says, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. It even talks about it. We should treat them with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Or some things, yeah, we got to kind of watch it. But God has combined the members of the body and has given them greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I wish we should all pull together. You know, right here, right now, all of you sitting here, I don't know how many different churches are represented here. I don't know how many different denominations might be represented here. But, you know, we all come from different places. You know, some of us call ourselves non-denominational. And, you know, you got the Baptists and you got, you know, the Methodists and you got all these different denominations. And as long as they're following the Bible, they're good. You know, the Bible's the Word of God, and that's what we have to follow. And if a church uses that as their doctrine, we're good to go. And we don't have to all be in the same building. We can all be in different buildings. But we can still come together like this and worship together because we are still the body of Christ. And, you know, the reason God wants us all together like that, because there's strength in numbers. Now, if you go off to fight a war, you don't go with 1,000 people if you're fighting 100,000. Well, it's the same with us. One Christian trying to stand up against the devil is going to have a really hard time because he's going to beat you up. He's going to come and just knock you down. And you're still going to be a Christian, but you're going to have a really hard time and you're going to probably be miserable trying to do it by yourself. But if we all get into a group like this and get against the enemy together, then we have a chance to succeed and live a victorious life even right here. You know, a lot of people, you know, they preach about, you know, going to heaven. And man, it's awesome that we are. You know, those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're guaranteed to be in heaven with Jesus. But that's, I don't know, well, hopefully a little ways down the road yet. 5, 10, 20, 30 years. Some of us 40 years. It's a long way down the road yet. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen today. So we want to live victorious between now and then. Because even so, that's great to be with Jesus then. 40 years here on Earth seems like a long time looking forward. And if you try to do that all on your own, and you struggle through all that, boy, it can sure get miserable. And I can honestly say I know it from experience. Because I'm one of those loner kind of people sometime that thinks I don't need to go talk to other people. I got this covered. So I'm talking from experience here. The devil starts beating you up, and, you know, the devil can't make you do anything. But he can whisper in your ear. And he'll put negative thoughts in there. He'll put, you know, the Bible talks about him shooting arrows at you. And you start thinking about that. And my wife says I overanalyze everything, which I typically do. I don't know when to not analyze. You know, I sit down on a problem and I look at it this way, that way, this way. Well, when the enemy starts shooting darts at you, you know, you start taking those thoughts and you start going, "What? No, wait a minute. Got back up. Let's go see what God says, and then we're good." And if you get confused on it, that's when you need the other Christians, because then you can talk to them. When you get depressed, have you ever noticed when you're really depressed, you really don't feel like praying? Most people, when they get depressed or get in a really bad mood or get angry, they don't feel like praying. Well, I don't feel like talking to God right now. That's when you need the other Christians to pray for you, because you can tell them, "Hey, I'm just not doing real good. You know, I need a little help here." And that's where we can lift one another up, and, you know, we can strengthen each other. We can help each other in our weaknesses. And then we will succeed. And the devil's smart, man. He knows exactly what to use to beat you down. You know, one of my things that I used to really struggle with, still do, is I used to have a budget that went like 4 or 5 months down the road, man. I had every dollar figured out where it had to go and where it didn't need to go. And if it didn't look like it was supposed to, I would just worry to death. Instead of just saying, "Hey, God will work it out." But I would just worry about it. Well, of course, that's what he's going to use to beat me up with. That was his thing to get to Heinz. And let's kind of worry him a little bit with those finances. Well, I got, you know, the more we're trusting God, the more we're getting better at it. And, hey, now we only have a budget that goes 2 months down the road instead of 6 months. We trust God for the rest of it. Hey, I'm doing better. But, you know, everybody here's got something that they're struggling with, and that's what he's going to use to beat you up with. And if you just run in and out of churches, it's really hard to get to know anybody enough to where you'd want to share your dirty laundry with them, or, you know, talk to them about your troubles. So you got to be plugged in to the point where you really get to know them. I really don't think that God expects you to walk into a church, go there for a month, and then stand up behind the pulpit and say, "Oh, here's all my problems, folks. Can I have help?" Because you would just get beat to death. Not physically, obviously, but people don't know you. It'd be really tough. So what he wants you to be plugged in with other believers to where you get to know them to the point where you can share those things, and you know they ain't going to tell everybody. Because it ain't, you know, you just don't air it everywhere. You want people you can trust. And that's why a lot of churches nowadays have what they call cell groups, you know, where there's like 10, 20 people hang out together. They meet. It's really cool the way they do that. I've always been one that likes smaller churches because of that. I've never been one to like the mega church, but there's a place for all that. So that's the thing that that's why God wants us together. And if you look at how the body fits together, that's the whole purpose behind it. And I want to read just 4 more verses. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, the speaking in different kinds of tongues, and then he asked the question. He just listed a bunch of gifts, and obviously we're not going to go into that right now. We'd be here a long time. But God assigns different things to different people. And if we're in the body, these different gifts all work together, and then we can help one another. But he goes on, "Are all apostles?" No. I added that. "Are all prophets?" Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. We don't all have the same gifts, just like I said at the beginning. And I just wanted to back it up with some scripture right here. And because of that, we need one another, and then we can succeed. The gifts, I've been in different churches, and people say, you ought to go do this, and you ought to go do that, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Talk to God about it. But what's my whole point this morning? Well, the conclusion of everything I talked about this morning, just to kind of sum it up real quick, the conclusion is it takes all of us working together to really succeed and live a victorious life here on earth. I don't think we can do it by ourselves. It just doesn't work. And trust me, I've tried, because like I said, I'm a little loner type that way. We all have to work together. Why am I preaching about that this morning? Well, this is the end of the racing season. And I know a lot of, there's people that probably rarely ever set foot in the church, but they do come here and listen to me every now and again, and that's great. But what are they going to do over the winter? What are they going to do for the next 3 months? Because state series won't start back up till probably March or April. And between now and then, are they going to a church? Well, it's not my place to tell you where to go. All I ask you to do is, if you decide to go to a new church, look at their statement of faith, make sure they're preaching Jesus, and it's the real thing. Don't go on television and listen to most of them people. I really discourage that. There are good people on TV, but they're about like this out of a whole bunch of them. Most of them, it's scary, the stuff they tell you about. Then the Bible even warns against that. There will be people in the end times that will mislead you. And there's people being misled by guys and women that claim to be preachers. But if you pray about it, God leads you in the right direction. So, like I said, my point this morning is to point out to you that you need others. You can't do it on your own. You need others to help you, strengthen you, to live victorious here on earth. But the whole thing doesn't matter if you don't know Jesus to begin with. And that's why I just want to kind of tell you, just for a minute, what it takes to get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's really pretty easy. Have you ever sinned, or do you ever sin? I know I have, and I still do at times. Probably more than I want to. But if you've ever done that, somebody's got to pay for that sin. Somebody's got to make restitution for it. Now, if you steal a car, you should go to jail for it and pay for stealing the car. Well, any kind of sin against Jesus, anything you do wrong, somebody has to pay for that. Well, it takes someone perfect to pay for those sins. That perfect individual was Jesus Christ. He came to this earth as a baby. He was raised as a child, just like the rest of us. Once he was a grown man, he had a ministry here. But the difference between him and a regular man is that he was also God. Jesus was God here on earth. Jesus came to this earth as a son of God, allowed himself to be hung on a cross and crucified and died for our sins. 3 days later, he rose. And that's what makes it the perfect sacrifice. Because if he would have just died, he'd be no different than the cows and the bulls and all that other stuff that they used to sacrifice to him. But he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose. He's alive. And he's now in heaven with God, preparing a place for us. And if you believe that, if you choose to believe that and say, hey, Jesus, I know you did that for me, then you will be saved, and you will be there with the rest of us. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we just thank you so much. We praise you and thank you for your word. I appreciate that you allowed me to speak to these people. And Lord, anything that I said that wasn't from you, please just let it have fallen on deaf ears. Father, let them take this message home with them to where they can use it. use it in the days to come, use it to strengthen them. I know there's people hurting that won't talk to others, but let them meet other Christians that they can feel safe and comfortable with, where they can share and build each other up. We just thank you. Father, as we get ready to go racing, I just ask for protection on everyone here. Let us be safe. Keep us all in one piece. And as I always say, let's do it for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.